Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, radio family, and welcome back. Another weekend edition of Community Focus. Back to the wonderful company of you. And thank you so much for your listenership every Saturday and Sunday morning. And the nice thing about coming back, particularly in a new year, is to welcome back radio family. And that I definitely find in one Mustafa Shabazz. My brother, my friend, good morning. How are you in the 2019?
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning.
And it is great to be back. Thank you for having me again.
It is always a pleasure.
I appreciate you having me on Community Focus. I always look forward to being here with you.
Thank you.
And let's just share some information with
Absolutely.
People so that we can help people get out of the rental rut
and into the homeowner strut.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
There you go. You remember.
I remember. It has stuck with me now, Mustafa. And the beautiful thing, my friend, and we were just talking about this before even cracking open the mic, was the fact that we wanted to get on the program, this public affairs show, and just share some good news about the housing market. And speaking of the new year, this may be the year that some folk are indeed wanting to make that change,
That's
Mustafa,
correct.
From the rental rut. And 2019 is going to be the year they want to do the homeowner strut.
Absolutely. Hopefully. And we can help them do that. We
Absolutely.
Can facilitate that move.
Absolutely. So let's do just that and begin by asking, now that we have finished 2018, we're into a new year, what was 2018 like and what do you expect differently this year?
The market in 2018, real estate market was hot.
Yeah,
it was on fire.
Yeah.
The economy has grown. The job market has been is moving in the right direction. People have more confidence in the economy right now, and mm-hmm. people are actually making moves.
Sure.
So 2018 was a tremendous change as it relates to the real estate. 2018 versus 2017, you know, the sales were up 6.2% over the previous year.
Right.
The sales price per house is up 6.2%. So mm-hmm. that's great for sellers. I mean, we were in a seller's market. We were in a seller's market all 2017 mm-hmm. and 2018.
18. Okay.
We've been in the seller's market for a while. The thing that that people have to understand, especially buyers, if you're out here trying to buy, we are not in the same market that we were in when we were going through the foreclosure crisis.
Right.
And a lot of people still have the mindset
mm-hmm.
that there are a lot of great deals out here and we can get houses under market value and they're just low-hanging fruit. They're just waiting for us to be plucked. That's just not the case anymore.
Right.
You have to come to the market with the realization that we are in a seller's market and the market has dictated
mm-hmm.
what the price of housing is,
right.
And we have to follow suit because the market has made a statement,
mm-hmm.
and it is what it is.
Yes. And Mustafa, back to your point of the housing market last year being a booming market, that was so the case, at least from my perspective, as just your ordinary Joe. I really noticed it just about everywhere I went around mm-hmm. town. You would see developments just popping up, houses that are being newly built. So new developments, new neighborhoods, and really to your point that people are looking to make that change come 2019. Now, you mentioned that this was a seller's market. As a seller, what could one, say like myself, expect from a realtor's perspective?
All right, so in order to maximize your sale, in mm-hmm. order to get as much as you possibly can
right.
out of your particular home, you need to sit down with a realtor like myself,
right.
preferably me,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about the steps that you need to take to prepare your home to go on the market.
Right.
So when you're looking to sell your house, it becomes a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just your personal residence where you live,
right.
and you need to look at it differently when you step in the door. You need to look at it differently from the time you pull up to the curb looking at your house as a buyer. Yes. You need to start looking at your house as a buyer would look at your house. Okay. So you need to start from, you need to make sure that it has curb appeal.
Yeah, I like that.
You need to make sure, sometimes it's necessary to get a pre-inspection, a pre-listing home inspection to alleviate any issues or any concerns that may come up during a home inspection.
Right.
Because what's going to happen is that if a buyer comes and he does a home inspection, and there are minimal things that need to be done in your home,
right,
they're going to see that as a way to get something off the price. They're going to use that as a negotiating tool to say, okay, it needs this fixing, it needs that fixing.
Right.
How about let's just knock $3,000 or $4,000 off the price of your home? Well, the things that they may want you to fix or knock off the price of your home, it may only cost you $300 to do it, or $250, $400, not $3,000.
Exactly.
So they're going to use that as leverage to get that off the price of your home. So it is important that you do a, and sometimes a good look at the property and say, what needs to be fixed? What is the buyer going to see?
Exactly.
What's going to be his impression? Because that's going to determine the offer that he makes. You want to maximize this market. Houses are selling at about 6% higher than they did in the previous year.
Right.
They're not on the market as long. The average time on market is 57 days if it's presented right. So if it stays on market longer, 60 days, 90 days, in this market, your house is either too high or it needs work.
That's a good point, because I've noticed that too. When yeah, you're right about that. But when, again, getting back to driving around town, when, you know, as I'm supposed to be keeping my eye on the road, but perhaps if I'm in a position where I can kind of slow down and look at a for sale sign on a home, especially if it's a nice one, I say to myself, now I wonder how much that house is going to remain on the market, you know, with that for sale sign in. And you're absolutely right. I'll go back next time and I'll see that sold splash across the for sale sign. So you're right.
So we're in a market where multiple offers are very common.
Exactly.
Very common.
Exactly.
I think the one I've got is supposed to be closing next week. There were nine people made offers on this house.
Really? That's a lot.
It just came on the market.
Wow.
There were nine bidders, so to speak, on this particular home. And if you don't have an experienced agent who knows the market, he knows how to negotiate, knows how to structure offers so that you can be the winner.
Exactly.
And you're going to be the loser.
It's
kind of ironic that I had someone that works with me that actually had made an offer on the same home.
Wow.
And she had two clients that was looking at them. And we were sitting there in the office. I didn't tell her that I had made an offer on the home.
Right.
And she was on the phone speaking with someone and said, well, you know, there were nine people making an offer on this house. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, and I got it. But I didn't say anything at the time. But, you know, experience helps. I mean, it helps to have someone who's been out here, who's been doing this for a while and knows how to negotiate on your behalf. And that's basically what you hire us to do, to negotiate on your behalf and to direct you to help facilitate this transaction. And I don't really look at myself as a salesperson.
Right.
I don't sell homes. I facilitate the transaction and I help people either sell their home or get them out of the rental rut
into the homeowner's rut
and help them to buy a home.
Exactly.
But it's a process, and you have to know how to navigate the waters.
Absolutely. That's a great way to phrase it too, Mustafa. And I like what you pointed out, getting back to what you mentioned earlier as far as really being thorough. I think is another good word when it comes to, if you are that individual who is in the process of selling your home, knowing exactly the little things that need to be taken care of. Because the more you take care of the home, the more the increase in value when it comes time to sell it.
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
Very good. Now, Mustafa, we're about to take our first break of the morning. Now, I would have to be in a position to say that this is just, as much as you try to tune it out, it's really difficult. And of course, that being the government shutdown, that is impacting a lot of individuals.
It is.
And it's not just the federal workers, it's ordinary folk like us particularly us as homeowners. So that is something I definitely want to talk about on the other side of the break.
Okay,
with the
very
question.
Well. We need to dive into that.
Absolutely. And dissect it and find out how has the recent government shutdown affected the real estate market from both a seller's and buyer's perspective. So that's what we'll focus on in the other side of the commercial break. But family, it's good to have you back in the 2019.
It's great to be here.
Thank you so much. And it's great to have your company. Radio family, much more of the weekend edition of Community Focus, and we will be back right after this. Much more of the weekend edition of Community Focus heard in our intercom station Saturday and Sunday morning. Thank you, radio family, if you've been with us since the beginning of the program. Welcoming those of you who may just be tuning in. I, Renee Vaughn, enjoy our time together, and I certainly enjoy the company of members of our Community Focus family. He's definitely regular, even in the new year, Mustafa Shabazz with Realty One, and we have been in great conversation, Mustafa. As I mentioned before the break, it is a topic that is impacting a lot of people, the recent government shutdown, and I wanted to really, right off the bat, get into discussing how this government shutdown has affected both the real estate market from the seller's as well as buyer's perspective.
I'm glad you asked that question, Renee, because a lot of people that looking to sell their home or mm-hmm. looking to buy a home are not taking that into account as to how it could impact the process.
Right.
So I'm going to give you a good example. I've got a client that I'm working with that I'm meeting with actually later on this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
He came to me and he was with another agent previously and was not given all the information that would allow him to make a informed decision. But anyway, he was stuck on the fact that him and his wife wanted to be in a USDA area. So USDA is a loan that it's called a rural loan. It used to be called a farmer's loan.
Right,
farmer's
exactly.
Farmer's home loan.
I remember
right?
that.
So it's a rural area. And the thing about it, it's 100% financing. There's no down payment. And a lot of people gravitate to that particular product
right.
because of the fact that it's 100% finance and you don't have to have a down payment. The thing is, during this shutdown, the USDA, which is a government entity, they are completely shut down. They aren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. So if you've got people that have been trying to close a USDA loan, it has abruptly come to a halt.
Right.
So this is affecting buyers. This is affecting sellers.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has their home on the market and they have their home under contract and the buyer is buying the home and they're going USDA,
right.
they can't process this loan.
Mm.
If this particular seller is trying to buy another house
right.
and is contingent upon them selling that home
mm-hmm.
in order to buy another home they want to move into,
right.
then it stopped that process as well.
Wow.
And sometimes that person, that home that they're buying,
mm-hmm.
the people who are selling that house is trying to buy another house.
Right.
So it just trickles on down to so many people.
Right.
And as a seller, this is one thing that you need to take into account as well. If you've got a house on your market and you've got an offer coming in,
mm-hmm.
you need to look very closely at what the financing is. Because if it's USDA and you've got to close in the contract for 45 days, 30 to 45
right.
days, it may be 60 days. It may be 90 days. It may be 120
exactly.
days.
Exactly. When we factor
depending
in
when we are in
a government shutdown.
The shutdown. Mm-hmm. And there's right. been indication that it could last for who knows when.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
based on the mindset.
Right. And that's a very good point. And I'm glad that we're having this conversation on it, Mustafa, because we'll get to this in the course of our conversation a little later on in the show, sharing all the contact information as much as possible for our radio family, our listeners, that if they do have additional questions, especially any concerns with this government shutdown, how they can get in contact with you. Aside from the fact that we're still in a seller's market and the recent government shutdown has caused delays and in some cases abruptly halted progress, are there still programs and products for home buyers who are in the rental rut and looking for an avenue to home ownership?
Now, I'm glad you asked that question because I'm going to stay on this topic for a minute.
Sure.
And the reason I'm going to stay on this topic for a minute is because so many people have the misunderstanding
mm-hmm.
that in order to buy a home, they need to have a lot of money saved.
Right.
And you should have some funds. You should have some money to contribute to the process, to contribute to your home ownership.
Right.
But there are still programs out here that's available. There's money out here that's available. Give you a good example.
Sure.
I just closed on a home recently. In fact, I'm going to do some marketing related to this particular deal because it was so impactful for this individual and could be just as or more so for the next individual,
right,
if you know where to go and know who to contact.
Exactly.
So this young lady bought a $150,000 home, very nice two-story home,
mm-hmm,
single mother, young lady in her 20s still.
Wow.
That's, I was very, very proud of what she was able to accomplish.
Exactly.
But she was able to get through down payment assistance $30,500.
Wow.
So she's making payments on $124,000 product. In other words, that's her payment is based on $124, not $150.
Right.
Because of the
down payment assistance. Right.
So she was able to move out of apartment paying maybe $50 more per month on her mortgage,
right,
than what she was paying on her apartment.
Apartment, yeah.
This was so impactful. I was so happy. I was so enthused by what she was able to do and by the money that she was able to get. So when those checks came to the table, mm-hmm, and she had a check from one entity,
mm-hmm,
that was $20,000,
right,
and a check from another group, mm-hmm, that was $10,500,
yeah,
I'm like, whoa.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Exactly.
$30,500?
Yeah. And it's just like you said.
That's not even the max.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing too, Mustafa. But you know, it's just like you alluded to earlier with this young lady. And I too am proud of her. And any young person that takes that initiative, she had the right mindset. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. She knew she didn't want to be in that apartment for a long, extended period of time is the word I'm looking for.
Exactly.
And that's usually the case for most people, where if you just really sit down and kind of do the math and just kind of, you know, reason, why am I staying in an apartment where I'm paying $600+ when I can be paying that same amount and have my own home?
Exactly.
Have my own space, have my own garage, have my own attic, have my own whatever that you don't typically
have
get.
Have your own yard for her little boy to go,
right,
for her little son,
exactly,
to go and play in and chase
him.
Exactly,
Evo. Exactly.
I mean, I just got so attached to this child.
Yeah.
I'm like, we going to get this little fella in a home.
Right, absolutely.
So when I spoke with Linda regarding some of these funds, I said, well, what is the maximum amount by utilizing all these programs? Because you can piggyback one program on another program.
That's true.
By piggybacking these programs, what is the maximum amount that you could possibly get?
Exactly.
He said about $50,000.
Wow.
I'm like, shut up.
Shut the front door, you know?
What? Are you kidding
exactly,
me?
Exactly, exactly.
Of course, not everybody's not going to be able to qualify for 50. Everybody may not be able to qualify for the 30.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't see what you can qualify for.
Right, if you don't.
You know,
at least put forth the effort. Yeah.
You know, if you can get 10,000, mm-hmm, well, that's 10,000 more than you had.
Exactly. That's
your down payment on your home. If
right,
you can get 15,000, mm-hmm, that's your down payment on your home plus
that's
closing costs.
That's true.
So you end up coming out of your pocket with $1,000.
Right.
You know,
right,
or less.
Exactly.
So as we move forward and we're getting into the tax season, people
right,
are waiting on that money.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting on those tax returns.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that's again, a way that the government shutdown is affecting home buyers,
mm-hmm,
because a lot of people are looking for those funds,
right,
in order to make a down payment on a home or something else.
Absolutely.
You know?
Now let me make this note to Mustafa while we're on this subject. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was a huge concern, that with the government shutdown, what's going to happen to my tax return? Now, last I heard, the Internal Revenue Service said that will not have an impact, that refunds will still be issued.
Good.
Now, it may take a little bit longer than what we're normally, but then again, you know, sometimes the wait is the wait. We're just thankful that we can get something.
Exactly.
But
yes,
but yeah, again, so radio family, keep up with that information. But again, to just reiterate, this coming from the IRS, they have said that those refund checks will be coming. So that is a good thing. But Mustafa, what you just shared ties in nicely with something that you as a realtor and with Realty One, you are really teaming up to do something wonderful in the community.
That is correct.
Speaking of a seller's market, selling homes and feeding the community. Let's discuss that beautiful relationship or that collaboration that you have with the Second Harvest Food Bank.
So what we have done at Realty One is that we have put forth an initiative this year that for every home that we transaction that we do, whether it's on the sale side or whether it's on the buy side,
right,
for every home that we sell, that we're going to donate 200 meals to Second Harvest Food Bank.
Excellent.
And I mean, what a great gesture on behalf of the firm, on behalf of the company, mm-hmm, to want to give back into the community. And that's what it's all about. It's about giving back. It's about helping in the communities in which we serve. So one of the things which I've done personally, and I've set it as a goal for myself, to do 10,000 meals. Nice. That means I've got to do 50 transactions this year, which I think that's a very lofty goal that's very achievable.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to help you get out of the rental rut. I'm going to help you sell your home, mm-hmm, and together we're going to feed some people.
Very nice. And it's doable.
It is. It is very doable. And I like the fact that I'm affiliated with a firm that has the presence of mind, mm-hmm, to want to give back to the community. And we do other things as well. We go out and do Habitat for Humanity bills. Mm-hmm. I really like doing that. I came from in my earlier, younger years, I worked for a builder, build and frame homes. I was a framer. And I really like getting up there and helping build homes. But one of the things I did notice the last time I was up there, I'm too old to be getting up there nailing plywood on a roof. Because I was so sore at the end of the day. But it was a good initiative for the company.
Yeah,
the fact that we get out in the community,
exactly,
and we give back to the community.
Yeah.
And I enjoy doing that.
Absolutely. And it's just a great feeling. But what I like about you, my friend, is that you realize and you understand your limitations too. You're like, pass it on to the younger generation and let them handle it.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Radio Family. Wonderful company from you and Mustafa Shabazz here on the weekend edition of Community Focus, as we are talking about a buyer's and seller's market with Mustafa from Realty One. My next question, Mustafa, now you mentioned the various programs available to home buyers that will assist with down payment, but don't those come with minimum credit score requirements, number one?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And what about that client that is credit score challenged or who has low credit scores? Is there help for them as well? Because that really can deter someone from wanting to even think about purchasing a home, because they may think, oh, with my credit score, nobody's going to give me a house.
I'm going to answer that question like this.
Mm-hmm.
Back during the summer, I recently closed on a home with a young lady, and every time she needed something or somebody along the process, she said, do you have somebody that can do this?
Yeah.
I said, let me go in my toolbox. All right. And I pulled
out
a name. I said, yes, call this person. Do you know anybody that does this?
Right, right.
I said, hold on. Let me check. Let me go in my toolbox. So I went in my toolbox, pulled out a name, sent it to this person, took care of that.
Yes.
So as it relates to credit restoration, credit repair, mm-hmm, I got people in my toolbox that can help. I mean, I've got people in South Carolina. I've got people in Georgia.
Wow.
I've got people in North Carolina.
Yes.
I have people that can get you where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about this home buying and home selling, it's a process.
Right.
Once you learn the process, you learn how to intervene, mm-hmm, during the process to make it come to fruition, to make you reach the goal in which you're trying to get.
Yeah.
So, yes, I've got people that can do credit restoration. Mm-hmm. One of them has already been on your program several times, I believe.
Yes.
Dr. Andrea Johnson.
Yes.
She does that. She's very good at doing that.
She's
also very good at not just helping you restore your credit or build your credit.
Right.
She helps you with budgeting, money management.
Exactly.
And oftentimes it's money management or the mismanagement of
mm-hmm,
money or
exactly,
not budgeting,
right,
that creates low credit scores.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
She will help you not only get your scores up,
yes,
but she will also help you create a program,
exactly.
create a mindset, a behavior.
Very
That's the
true.
Word I'm looking for.
Right, exactly.
She'll help you create a behavior
right. mm-hmm.
that will keep it where it needs to be.
Exactly.
And
hence, Mustafa, I don't know if she's ever used this, but I call her this every time she comes on the program. She is the doctor.
The doctor finance. Yes, she
yes,
is.
Yes. Absolutely.
So I've got people that can help you in every phase of the home buying or selling process.
Uh-huh.
I have people, very professional people,
right.
that can get the job done. So even once mm-hmm. you close on a home and you need
right.
You need granite countertops put in. You need a fence built. You need a deck built.
Right.
You need electrical work. You know, mm-hmm. I've got all of that. I've got folks.
I like she, that. I got people.
She said, Mustafa, you a one-stop shop, aren't you? I said,
much.
I try to be.
Yeah,
I try to
pretty
be.
Much.
And that's where networking comes about. You know, we are in this networking group that we have, and it's one of the reasons why I'm here as a result of this networking group that
right.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we have to help each other.
Exactly.
And we have to have a mindset mm-hmm. always
mm-hmm.
to help each other.
Other. Very good
Let
point.
Me repeat that. We have to have a mindset to help each other and to keep our money in our neighborhood longer than it has been.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to have that mindset.
Right.
And we are being forced to have that mindset. If you can't read between the lines of what's happening in our country and with our government, you know, we got to be self-sufficient. We've got to take care of each other. That's why I'm here to do. I'm trying to help us take care of us.
And that's what community, Mustafa, that's right. That's what community is all about. And I love the fact that you mentioned that toolbox. It's one of the greatest things an individual can have with which to reach for that necessary tool in helping that individual. That is fantastic. Now, let me ask you this. Where do you see the housing market overall in the near foreseeable future?
Actually, what I see in this year, 2019, is pretty much a duplicate of what we saw in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We are still experiencing low inventory levels. That's why it is so important that if you have a house to sell,
mm-hmm.
there is no better time than right now
yeah.
to get your house on the market.
Right.
Get it on the market, get it prepared. You can maximize your investment and move on to something else.
Yeah.
Another thing, because there's a low inventory of housing,
mm-hmm.
it's forcing a lot of people to stay in the rental arena,
mm-hmm.
even though that may not be where they want to be. But as an investor, investing in rental properties is still an excellent avenue to choose as well.
Right.
Because there's a shortage of housing,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a shortage of rental housing.
Right.
There's a shortage of houses to buy.
Yeah.
So if you've got money and you want to invest in something that's going to be a good return on your investment,
mm-hmm.
then I would suggest that you speak with me as well.
Exactly.
And let's talk about investing in some real estate.
Right. Exactly. You know, and it's interesting that you mentioned this because I had jotted this down as an additional question, if time allotted, and time does a lot
right.
here
yeah,
on the
yeah.
weekend edition of Community Focus, because I've always wondered in all my conversations, wonderful conversations with you, seasonally, is it better to purchase or sell a home in the fall or winter months or in the spring and summer months?
That's a good question. This is, and the mindset that most people have
right.
is to put the house on the market in the spring.
Yeah.
Put it on the spring and the summer.
Right.
That just doesn't hold true right now.
Okay.
Simply because there's less inventory
mm-hmm.
in the spring and in the fall and winter months.
Right.
More people are looking to put their house on the market in the spring and summer,
mm-hmm.
which creates more competition.
Right. True. Very true.
More competition. In the spring and summer, you also have more tire kickers out here.
Yeah.
You know what a tire kicker is? It's somebody that's really not looking to buy. They don't have anything to do on a Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. They say, hey, let's just go look at some houses.
Right.
You know? So they're just out looking. They're what we call looky-loos. They're not looking to buy. They just want to look. You know,
right.
But in the winter months,
uh-huh.
you have serious buyers looking.
Right.
When you've got weather that we're anticipating this weekend.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And people want to get out and look at houses.
Right.
They're looking to buy. They're not looking.
Mm-hmm.
They're buyers.
Buyers. Right.
So you have more serious buyers in the winter months than you do in the spring and summer months. Because you have a lot of people that's just like to look.
Right.
You know, and you have more inventory out here. You have more competition. Right. More people are putting their homes on the market in March, April, May, and June. So you've got more houses to choose from, even though there is a shortage of houses, period.
Yes.
But you have more competition.
Right.
So the best thing to do, if you really want to sell your house and maximize your capital, is to put it on the market now before the market gets, you know, too many houses out
here. Well, thank you for addressing that question, because I'd always wondered, and I said, now would be an ideal time to ask. And because it makes me think of the term window shopping, literally, is what some people are doing. The ones that, like you said, are not really serious in as far as buying a home. They just won't go out and look at a house and then keep it moving. Now, Mustafa, as a realtor, and I like what you mentioned earlier in helping each other, whether it's in our communities or even with your fellow, that's the word I'm trying to say, realtors. What advice or words of wisdom would you give for any up-and-coming realtors?
For any up-and-coming realtors, the first thing I would employ them to do is have patience. And
I like
know
that.
Your product and know your area.
Right.
And real estate is a different type of industry.
Yeah.
Because you go to real estate school, what they teach you is how to get a license and how to keep from losing it.
Ah.
And they teach you nothing about real estate transactions, real estate sales, interacting with customers, any type of procedures, any type of systems.
Right.
You learn a lot of that on the job.
Job, yeah.
And a lot of people jump into real estate thinking, I see they make a whole lot of money and it's quick money.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize it takes a whole lot of money to get started.
Yeah.
And it takes a whole lot of money to stay in it because there are a lot of fees affiliated with doing real estate. You got to pay to play.
Yeah.
Basically.
Wow.
But it's a good field, especially for those who get in it not for the money.
Right, exactly.
If you're not getting it for the money, you're getting in it because you have a passion to help people in some capacity. You know, everyone chooses their path,
right?
But that path should be in service to others.
And
whatever path you choose.
Exactly. And Mustafa, that's the one thing that I'd have come to really appreciate and love about you and why you have been able to do it as long as you have. Because of your service and wanting to help others. So, brother, I thank you for that. You've been in the game how long now, if I can ask?
Oh, I think I first got licensed and started doing it in 1991.
Yeah. And here you are, still at it in 2019, my friend.
I enjoy what I do.
And you took the words right out of my mouth.
I enjoy what I do. I enjoy helping people get homes. It can get frustrating at times, but the thrill of seeing someone get that key in their hand.
I was going to say it.
When they get that key in their hand, it just moves me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's especially when I see, like, this young person. I mean, I really was so thrilled. Because I have children her age. Actually, I have children about her age.
Right.
You know, some older, but someone about her age. But to be in your mid-20s,
right.
Buying a home. It's special.
It is. It's a beautiful
being
thing.
Being a homeowner is very, very special.
It is.
And I can help you get there. If you're not a homeowner and you choose to be, you want to be, if you are committed to being
a
homeowner, if you're committed, I'm committed. I'm in it with you, and I'll work with you and stay with you to the end. Yeah. Sometimes it may be a year. It may be 6 months. It may be 3 months.
Right.
I've worked with people that it's taken years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're committed to do what's necessary to get there, I'm committed to help you get there.
Absolutely. So, radio family, if you stick with it, Mustafa's going to stick with it with you. Absolutely.
Every step of the way.
Speaking of that, my friend, contact information. What is the best way for someone to reach out to you?
The best way to get in touch with me is probably through text. I respond so much quicker through a text message. My cell phone number is 336-986-0695. Again, that's 336-986-0695. That's the best way to get in touch with me, or my email address is realtorforlife, R-E-A-L-T-R, the number 4, L-Y-F-E, Realtor for Life. And that's exactly what I choose to be, a realtor for life.
Wonderful. Mustafa Shahbaz, my brother, it is so good to have you back here on the weekend edition of Community Focus. Always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure being here. I appreciate your service to our community.
Thank you. Likewise.
I appreciate you opening up the door and the mic for me to be here. And God bless you and God keep you.
Thank you so much. Mustafa, you know me. Until next time, my friends, no goodbyes on this program.
So,
until that next time, radio family, do enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of this weekend. And thank you so much for tuning in to another weekend edition of Community Focus. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.